Today is All Saints Sunday. It's that day that we remember and that day that we give thanks for those blessed, those all who have blessed our lives and who've gone to be with the Lord. And so we celebrate. We celebrate their lives. We remember them. We know that they are with Christ in heaven, and we are in joy. We are the church. We are the church here on earth, and we are the church in heaven. And so some of us are already there. There are those of us who are waiting that time. But we are still one church, the body of Christ. And that's what we celebrate on All Saints Sunday. We are God's church, the church triumphant and the church militant, meaning that we are here on this earth waiting that time that we are caught up with God. And it is a glorious day to celebrate with one another. This morning, as we remember and as we give thanks, I give you some direction. As we remember the dear lives of those whom we love, those whom are good friends to us, as I read names, would friends and family, if you would like to stand while that name is read, and as we light a candle in remembrance of the light that not only shone in this world, but that light that continues to shine throughout eternity. And then we'll have a brief moment of silence, and then we'll have you be seated, and then we'll go to the next name. Following the names that have been shared, that's printed in our bulletin representing these 16 dear lovely people, we'll also have another opportunity for you to maybe share a name from where you're sitting, of those whom you would like to give. And we'll have a candle also for them. Let's give the Lord thanks. Father, we rejoice in you this day as we celebrate the lives of these dear people whom you hold. Lord, just continue to mend our hearts and continue to draw us close to you and to one another as we walk this life of faith. Lord, we rejoice knowing that they are with you, and Lord, we rejoice knowing that we too are in your arms. And so, Lord, this day we just celebrate these special people in our lives, and we know, Lord, that you hold them in your arms, and we give you thanks, O God, for it's in your name we praise you, Father. Amen. Let us remember and let us give thanks for Janet R. Aker. Lord, we give you thanks. Let us remember and give thanks for Ronald C. Barnett. Barrett. Lord, we give you thanks. Let us remember and give thanks for Mickey Borson. Lord, we give you thanks. Let us remember and give thanks for Carolyn Lackey Dennis. Lord, we give you thanks. Let us remember and give thanks for Karen Hatcher. Lord, we give you thanks. Let us remember and give thanks for Mayodine Lawrence. Lord, we give you thanks. Let us remember and give thanks for Alberta Lee. Lord, we give you thanks. Let us remember and give thanks for Dorothy McKelvey. Lord, we give you thanks. And let us remember and give thanks for Lloyd McKelvey. Lord, we give you thanks. Let us remember and give thanks for Linda J. McKelvey. Lord, we give you thanks. Let us remember and give thanks for Peggy Nail. Lord, we give you thanks. Let us remember and give thanks for Robert Sellers. Lord, we give you thanks. Let us remember and give thanks for Virginia Sellers. Lord, we give you thanks. Let us remember and give thanks for Mary Jane Shore. Lord, we give you thanks. Let us remember and give thanks for Ed Smith. Lord, we give you thanks. Let us remember and give thanks for Anna Mary Yoder. Lord, we give you thanks. This time, if you have a name that you'd like to offer from where you're seated, please do so and we'll remember and give thanks. Please stand. Mm-hmm. Everett, Kip. Lord, we give you thanks. Lord, we give you thanks. Jean Carmichael. Lord, we give you thanks. Lord, we give you thanks. Wendy Howell. Lord, we give you thanks. Kevin.
Georgia Reed-Bergen.
Lord, we give you thanks. 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 Yes. Lord, we give you thanks. Lord, we give you thanks. This time, let us share together in our litany of prayer. May the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Ever-living God, this day receives in us memories of loved ones who are no more. What happiness we shared when they walked among us. What joy when loving and being loved we lived our lives together. Months or years may have passed and still we feel near to them. Our hearts yearn for them. Though the bitter grief has softened, a duller pain abides. For the place where once they stood is empty now. The links of life are broken, but the links of love and longing cannot break. We see them now with the eye of memory, their faults forgiven, their virtues grown larger. So does goodness live and weakness fade from sight. We remember them with gratitude and bless their names. And we remember, Lord, as well as the members who are but yesterday were part of our congregation and community, to all who cared for us and labored for all people, we pay tribute. May we prove worthy of carrying on the tradition of our faith, for now the task is ours. We give you thanks that they now live and reign with you. As a great crowd of witnesses, they surround us with their blessings and offer you hymns of praise and thanksgiving. Let us stand. Hear the word of the Lord from Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. His disciples came to him. And he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, For in the same way they prosecuted and persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is God's word for you, God's people. Amen? Amen. Please be seated.
The children may be dismissed if there are any children left to go to children's church.
You know, one of the great things about having grandchildren or even children is watching them learn and watching them figure things out. And you learn a lot about yourself, too, especially if you spend a weekend in a camper or a hotel room with a four-year-old and a two-year-old. Of course, you don't need a really huge vocabulary in such places. Things like no, don't, stop, quit, don't pretty much takes care of your daily conversation. But it's funny how the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree, because we want what we want when we want it too, don't we? Sure we do. As adults, we often live in that world of instant gratification. We want it our way right away. If the internet's too slow, we are certainly getting the high speed. We microwave our meals, we overnight our packages, and, you know, we instant message our friends. And our society is very in tune to our craving of instant gratification. Buy now, pay later. Take a pill and lose 20 pounds in a week. Come to our ER. It's only 12 minutes today. Or right now, it's only 8 minutes. And you have the, can you believe that? My arm is cut off and I'm bleeding out, you know. And all you have to wait is 14 and a half minutes. Glory. But we want what we want when we want it. And while patience may be a virtue, many people, and even us Christians, struggle with that. Patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay without becoming annoyed or anxious or angry. But yet, so much of our faith takes patience on our part. God is remaking us from our former state of living apart from Him to what it is to be living in Him. And the transformation that takes place in our hearts and in our minds takes time. And sometimes even it takes a lifetime for us to truly become more of what Jesus wants in us. Jesus even told His disciples to wait for the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, wait for Him to come. Jesus said, I will ask the Father and He will give you another Advocate to help you and to be with you forever. And Jesus tells them again, well after His resurrection, 40 days after, to again wait for this Holy Spirit. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that My Father had promised, which you have heard Me speak about. It's in Acts chapter 1. And see, this was a long, long time of waiting from that very first moment that Jesus promised the Spirit, and finally in its coming on the day of Pentecost. Patience. The capacity to accept or tolerate delay. Oh, you see, on All Saints' Day, we confess as Christians that there is an eternal city, a paradise of God, an eternity of rest and being with the Lord, but yet we do not have that. We do not yet live in that. And so we patiently walk by faith, not by sight, confessing the eternal joys of the life that is to come, yet struggling in this world of ours where there is sin and loss and brokenness. But what sometimes occurs, even for the Christian, is that our wanting what we want when we want it spills over into our life of faith. And we end up somehow thinking that we should have all of the peace and paradise right now without our waiting. As a Christian, God should just bless us and reward us with a lack of problems. Christians shouldn't get sick. You know, Christians shouldn't have trouble paying their bills. Christians shouldn't have problems with their marriages or struggles with raising their children. All of the peace and the joy and the bliss of heaven ought to be ours instantly, immediately, right now. And so when trouble comes our way, when the bottom drops out of our world, when we have problems in our marriage or with our money or raising our kids or whatever, we begin to think, what's wrong? What's wrong? I don't certainly feel too much like a saint, you know, because you see, we do that because we have let go of Christ's word, and in our unbelief, we have not heard what our Lord has said to us about being saints. See, Christ's word describes our life of sainthood. His word tells us what real life is like as Christians, and at the same time comforts those who receive this word. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You know, blessed are those who are persecuted for my sake. See, all of these beatitudes that our Lord speaks describes the life of saints in this world. Now, let me be very clear about what a saint is. A saint is a holy person. A saint's a holy person. Now, it's nothing that you've done, all right? Nothing that you've done at all. So don't get all big-headed and tell your sweetie, Kevin, saying, I'm a saint. Glory! No! Yes, you are, but not in that sense. You see, you are a saint because what Christ has done. Those who are in Christ through their holy baptism, fed by the Holy Supper, gathered in the name to receive His Word, and who are led by His Holy Spirit into ministries, those are the saints. You are the saints. You see, when we celebrate All Saints Day, we are recognizing that all of us are saints in God's sight through Christ. After all, it's not how we live that makes us saints, but how Christ lived for us and died for us and for you and for me. Your baptism into Christ makes you a saint. Your eating and your drinking as you partake of that body and blood of Christ makes you a saint. Your being forgiven your sins sets you apart as a saint. But saints, dear saints, are poor and mourning and harassed and hungering, struggling at times. You see, in this life, the path of sainthood, that is, of being a Christian, is often full of times of hardship and sorrow that doesn't bring that life of instant gratification that our world tries to buy and sell. Let me explain what I mean by just looking at two of these Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God, and blessed are those who mourn. They shall be comforted. See, if you listen closely to the Beatitudes, you hear a description of those who are in Christ. The Beatitudes describe those who have been crushed by God's law over their sin and have nothing in this world to give, nothing, they have nothing to hold on to except for Christ, His perfect life, His death and resurrection for them, and His gifts delivered to them by the gospel and by the sacraments. All the saints described by Christ are poor in spirit. You see, this means that they have nothing to bring to God to show how well off they are. They have a poverty of spirit, empty, nothing. Yet they have Christ. And what else more do we need but Christ? To such is the kingdom of God. They mourn over their sins. They're troubled and frightened by their lack of faith. They are grieved and sorrow because they do not live to serve their neighbors in love, and they recognize that. And you see, such sin causes them to shed tears of repentance, but they are comforted. That's what that passage is talking about. Not just dried tears, but the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, comes, comforts them by delivering to them the baptism of and the Word of God and the body and the blood of Jesus. You see, in the Beatitudes, in short, Jesus describes those who are troubled by sin, frightened by death, suffering for His name, and who have nothing in themselves and their lives to cling to. Rather, these saints only have Christ and the promise of His future and His present blessing. See, all of this demolishes the world's notions that what it is to be a saint. The world sees saints as those who lead some extraordinary life and who does some great and wonderful things in this life, a life of near perfection and godliness. In the world's eyes, saints are those goody-goody, perfect people. To the world, saints are those who are pure in heart because they do good all the time. And if we as Christians intermingle the world's ideas with what God has shown us in his word, what a saint is, then one of two things will likely happen. One, we'll look at ourselves and we'll think, well, you know, God surely must favor me because I'm His child, I'm His person, I'm His saint because I seek to live in His will in this world. I live a better life than those who do not live in His will, so God should certainly favor me. Now, we would never say such a thing out loud. We would never verbalize that, you and I, but yet it's in there. That's often what we mean when a crisis comes our way and we say, why? Why, Lord? Why am I going through this? I'm your child. I'm a Christian. I'm following you, and yet I have this stuff in my life, and I feel like I'm falling apart. This isn't supposed to be happening to me because I'm your child. A favored one. That can happen. The other thing that can happen is that we say, oh my, there's just, you know, no way I could ever be a saint because I'm not good enough. I still sin. Imagine that. Even though I try to follow Jesus, I still find myself failing at times, doing those things that I don't want to do and not doing those things that I know I need and I want to do. I'm no saint. You see, this is what the world would have us to believe, but not God's word. Not God's word. Church, we need to turn away from all such notions that sainthood is somehow about us. It is not. It is about Christ and the fact that we are made whole. You and I are made holy through Jesus Christ. After all, who is the one who is truly poor in spirit? Who had a poverty of everything and everybody? Was it not Christ? Who is truly a mourner over the sins of the world? Who wept over Jerusalem? One who makes peace, the one has mercy on others. Who is the one who truly hungers and thirsts for righteousness? You see, is it not Christ who did all of these things? Jesus who hungered and thirsted to bring you and I righteousness by dying for our sins. You see, the Beatitudes are not be attitudes, that we are some way trying to be these attitudes, that we're to check off so that we can get blessings from God. They are descriptions of a Savior, which became our description as a child of God. The difference is that Christ was without sin, and we are not. You see, the gospel and sacraments in which Christ comes to us are all that we have in this world. There is no guarantee of easiness or comfortableness or riches or fame or fortune. No, no. All we have in this life is a Savior, our Savior. But what else do we need? Church, what else do we need? Nothing. Nothing. Church, the promise of Christ in our baptism is that you have like a down payment, a guarantee of the blessings of the world to come. Having Christ, you do indeed have everything, but some things have not been given to you just yet. Just as we confessed in that last statement of the Apostles' Creed that I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Church, it's coming, but it's not here yet. We know it is ours in Christ through the promises of baptism and the body and the blood of Jesus, but it isn't now. It's not like this world which demands things instantly. The everlasting city of paradise seen by Daniel and St. John with its golden streets, its crystal clear waters, and with the Lord Himself as its light. This, the saints who have gone before, now enjoy, and we too will someday. But for now, we live in Christ. Poor in spirit, mourning, persecuted, and on. In this life, we hold forth Christ as the one who calls us saints and who goes with us as we walk by faith and not by sight. Then in the life to come, we shall see Him as He is, because you and I shall be like Him, and we shall live together in paradise without fear and without darkness, without shame, without death, our pain, our suffering, our tears. Oh, church, this is the joy of the saints who have gone before us today. This is the hope and the future of all who are called saints, you and I, in Christ. And so with great joy this morning, I say happy All Saints Day. God bless you. God bless us all. For we share in the kingdom of heaven on this earth and with God forever in paradise with all the saints. Amen? Amen. Go forth as the saints of God, claiming that promise that you are God's child and in you the light of Jesus Christ lives. Experience that peace in your life as you go forth in this day and all the days to come. Amen? Amen.